What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Podcast. This is episode 260, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is Ryan on his laptop.
On my laptop, that's right. How's it going?
He was just complaining about this little screen that he's using. He doesn't have the four screens up.
Stuck on one screen. It's a 1440p monitor running at 1080, so it's just a little fuzzy. I'm going to be running at 60 hertz, locking it in tonight when we game. So it's not ideal, but it'll work. Yeah. No RTX voice, so I can't,
You do sound not as good.
Not as good.
You don't sound as good. So, LBOE is in the chat. What is going on? Welcome everybody in the live stream who's listening to us live or watching us live. Big week for you, I would say. Past week, Super Bowl, the Chiefs, your team, the Chiefs, weren't it? I haven't really watched. I think it was the only football game I watched. No, I did watch the playoff game, a little bit of it. But it was the only real football game I watched all year. It was a good game. It was entertaining, for sure. Mahomes was definitely hurt. You could tell.
Yeah. So. I don't know that it affected his performance too much, other than slowed him down with his movement. He's pretty quick. But
when he was throwing those passes, he was still scrambling and he was those were some really good passes. So I think he has a bright future in the NFL for sure. So as long as he stays healthy, I think you guys are gonna be good for a while. Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls, which is insane for a human.
Yeah. It's
unless you're like Patriots fan, you hate Brady, but I think that, you have to, he's 42 years old and he just won the Super Bowl for the 7th time. That's just crazy. And again, I don't follow football that much, but for him to come in, I don't think that team was really expected to do well. No. And he came in and I don't know if he changed the attitudes of the players or how that team is run, but he obviously made a difference because they won the Super Bowl. So, I didn't see a whole lot of tech related commercials at the Super Bowl. Did you?
No. Not that I can think of. I mean, there was the Robin Hood commercial at one point.
Which I was like, very ill-timed commercial.
Yeah. Obviously. You're like, well, we've already paid the money for the spot. Let's just go ahead and run it. Yeah. I can't think of any real tech. There was one for Fiverr, right? Like that's kind of a lot of people there get their logos made and their intro videos.
I didn't see it, but there was the 5-second Reddit spot. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I saw a post
about it and it was 5 seconds. It was a little screenshot that said we paid for the whatever, I don't know. No real tech things, not a whole lot of tech for the halftime show either. Sometimes we see some cool tech stuff or even the game. I remember when they did that 3D camera thing 5 or 6 years ago. Nothing real tech related for the game either.
One year we had the Intel drones, right?
Yeah, that was cool.
That was pretty neat. I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, it's
uneventful. Uneventful. That's all right.
Yeah, it was good. Sure. It was good to see fans at a sporting event, though, I have to say.
Sure.
So, that was pretty cool. So with the Super Bowl out of the way, make sure everybody who is following along in the live stream, we have our full show notes page, which is linked in the description of wherever you're watching this. If it's on Facebook, YouTube, you can go ahead and check it out. But we have our show notes page, which is right here, which is everything that we're talking about. And let's jump into reviews this week. And I've been talking about this. I've been using it for a while. And the reason I took a while with this because I really wanted to use it. You can just put it on it, install a monitor and use it for a couple of days and be oh yeah. But I really wanted to use this monitor for a long time. The monitor is, of course, the Viotech SUW49DA. a 49-inch super, I call it a super ultra wide. I don't know if that's actually like the technical term for it. But it's 49-inch super ultra wide, 5120 by 1440 resolution. So technically it's a 1440p panel. And 120 hertz refresh rate, supports FreeSync as well as G-Sync. It's just an awesome monitor.
It's huge. I'm amazed. Like, you can do so much with that much screen real estate, right? Yeah.
The cool thing about it is, so I had a 34-inch ultra wide, which I thought was like the ultimate monitor for me. I thought 34 inches was the ultimate, like that was going to be my monitor that I had for a long time. And then these 49s came out, and I'm like, because with a 34, I would have two windows side by side, and I could, you know, be working here and have social media here, or be working on both windows, or writing a review and have my notes on this side, or, you know, two windows, perfect size, really, really good. With this monitor, what I do now is I do this, where I have three windows, which it's the, let me see what the resolution of these windows are, 1706 by 1440, which is a little bit, I wouldn't say they're constrained. They're perfect size for me. So three windows side by side. So like I have my review here, I have the website here, I have like, you know, the website for the, you know, basically my notes for the monitor review. I can have three windows side by side. It's just, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So if you're a productivity person, this monitor is going to be awesome for you. It's basically like having three monitors without any bezels, and you're a multi-monitor guy, not having any bezels, of course, really, really good.
Yeah, I think this looks really good with the three windows there, because I noticed still, to this day, so many websites feel like all the content is still shoved into the middle of the page, and there's so much either empty on the sides, or obviously they're, you know, ads a lot of times. But even the, like the Viotech websites you've got there, right? Most of that content is towards the center of the page, and it's white on the borders. So you throw that up on a standard 1080 screen or something, and you just have so much wasted space a lot of times. So I think, you know, splitting it up into three there, it makes perfect sense, and you get so much more onto the screen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It works so perfectly. I wasn't sure. Now, the way I'm able to do this is with an application called Display Fusion. It allows you to split the screen like this. I would highly recommend it. It is paid. I paid for it. There is a 30-day trial, so you can see if it will work for you, but I think it's like $29. If you're using a monitor of 34 or 49 inch and you want to split it up, these basically act as individual monitors. You can actually see the start menus on each. So I split this up into three individual monitors, which is pretty cool. Now, if you're a gamer, this, of course, is a really good monitor as well, because it is a 120 hertz. You know, I know we have 144, 240, 360 now. But for this size, I mean, here's Cyberpunk running on it. And
that's awesome.
It's especially a game like Cyberpunk where you're walking around in this big open area. GTA 5, WoW would be a game where you have this big open area. Racing games especially as well. Having this big of size is awesome.
Did you play any racing games on this at all?
I did not.
I think that would be just awesome. Not that I don't know what the best racing game is right now, but
I might be doing what Old Man Says. He said would be this monitor would be great for racing games with steering wheel and pedal. Once I move, I think that might be something I might get into. Cool. Just as like a break from like the normal games that I play, I think that would be a lot of fun. might even get one of those chairs, like one of them chair thingies.
You're all in already.
Racing games are a lot of fun. I used to play a lot of racing games like Forza and some other ones. So, but yeah, this does have, I didn't mention this display has an 1800R curve, which isn't a massive curve, but it's just enough, you know, if you sit back, like if I sit back here far enough, it's enough curve, where you feel immersed in the game. So gaming on this full screen is great. Again, for those type of games, racing, like a Cyberpunk game where it's like open world type games, they're great. Now, we play a lot of Apex Legends, obviously. And how I play that is I actually make a 1440p screen in the middle. So this is a true 1440p resolution. So what is that?
2560.
2560 by 1440. It's right there in the middle. And typically when we play, I'll have, you know, Ryan will be streaming. I'll have a stream over here or, you know, so this gives you a full, you know, normal 1440p game running at 120 hertz, no problem. You can, you know, if you're depending on what game you're playing, you could have a stream open on the side. You could have like a tutorial over here or whatever it may be. It just, that's how I play like fast paced games like Apex, Warzone, Counter-Strike, those type of games. That's how I would play on this monitor. And it works really well. It's perfect for that as well. So, and then, I mean, media on this is absolutely amazing. If you can find 32 by 9 content, this is the
is this the trailer called? For the new Top Gun or Maverick?
Yeah, new Top. Is it called Maverick or is it called Top Gun?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm super excited to see that.
Yeah, I'm super. Well, watching it on this, you know, again, this is almost like a movie screen because movie screens are typically super widescreen. You know, if you go to the movies and you can sit here, I can lean back and, you know, watching this, blasting the my speakers and, you know, 32 by 9 content, which you can find, you know, if you can find it, it looks absolutely amazing on this monitor. It's just, you know. So, yeah, awesome, awesome monitor. The only downside to this monitor, this is so I always say Viotech is like the bare bones, right? So you're not getting any USB hubs on this. You're not getting any of the fit and finish, like all there are hardly any bezels because they're thin bezels, but it's plastic. There is a remote, which I actually have right here. So it does come with a remote, which is actually really nice. So you can do all the controls, all the OSD can be done from the remote, but the OSD like pretty basic, software or anything like that. This technically does support HDR, but you literally cannot tell the difference because the max brightness on this is, I forget what it is. I think it's 100 nits, I'm pretty sure. So it's not like a crazy, you know, 1000 nit HDR screen or anything like that. But yeah, it works with G-Sync. I tested G-Sync, it works with that. No problem. You know, it's just a really, really good monitor. The stand is actually pretty nice. Let me go back to the actual pictures of the stand. So the stand design is a little different. Let me see. So you can see it kind of goes out into this like T shape. Yep. It actually takes up less space on your desk, but it's being this big. I don't think any stand is going to be super sturdy, but it actually works pretty well. You can move the display up and down quite easily. You can do it with one hand. You can swivel the display. You can do all that kind of stuff. But I do like the stand. It doesn't take up a whole lot of space either. You can see this is the max height that you can go. And then this is, you know, kind of going down to the light on it. So you can move the screen up quite a lot. You know, using the stand also does have the built-in cable management, not great cable management, but again, like looking at it, it's like the, you know, it's sort of like the bare bones. The back of this is all plastic. It's not, you know, but again, as somebody who's not going to be looking at the back of your monitor, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? So yeah, so like I said, I think it's good. As far as connections, 2 display ports, HDMI, this USB is not for software, it's actually to update the monitor if you really want to have to mess with that. And you have an audio pass-through as well. There are speakers on this. I'd even hook them up because they're not.
We don't do that.
So I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's selling on Amazon right now for $921.05, which is a weird number. But it's just over $900. I think, again, if you're somebody like me, like so many people work from home, but they also want a game. I need something that is going to be highly productive for me, but I also want something that's going to, you know, over 100 hertz for gaming. This is the perfect thing. 49 is definitely the extreme, but it's like highly effective for productivity. It's so good. So yeah, 9 out of 10. Yeah, I definitely check it out. I would highly recommend it for anybody. Like Ryan, you have all those monitors, like just get one of these and you'll be set. I think it's just, yeah, it's just that good. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Catching up to the chat, everybody's chatting here. I'm talking. Kosher Tech is in the house. What is going on? Kosher, I've been doing TikToks. I did like two this week, so I'm on TikToks.
I just everybody can't get there.
LBOE said Top Gun Maverick. Okay. I am excited to see it.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a good one, I think. And Old Man said he mostly plays Forza 4, but sim racing is pretty good and huge on PC. So maybe something I think about once I move. I always say I'm going to do these projects and then never do them. So we'll see.
I know what you mean. I mean, I have a pretty like brand new Logitech steering wheel and pedals that I got when, one of the Forzas came out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I used it for maybe 10 minutes because I didn't have a good like spot for it. If I put it on my desk here, it's like, well, now it's in the way.
Yeah.
And then
that's the thing is like, I need to make something that I can easily move it.
Right, but it's got to be sturdy still.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make for easily movable most of the time.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Yeah. So if I told you, if I was like, Ryan, I have an EVGA review, what would you think I would be reviewing? I was like, hey, man, EVGA review. Yeah.
So it's either going to be a video card, a motherboard, maybe a power supply. We don't do too many, you know, power supply reviews. Yeah. That's about it. Maybe some cables. Like they do some custom cables that you can get. I know that's not what it was. And I was a little surprised when I saw this because you didn't. I meant to ask you what it was, I think, last week when you teased it. And I forgot. So I was like, oh.
Yeah. So I took a look at EVGA's newest keyboard. So, yes, they do make keyboards and they make mice. And this is their new Z20. It has a really unique feature, which I'll talk about. It is a full. Let me get to the pictures here. It is a full-size keyboard, so you have your full complement of keys as well as a full number pad. You also have dedicated multimedia keys with the volume roller, as I would call it. Is that what you would call it, a roller?
Yes, yeah, kind of similar to the Corsair.
Yeah, with the volume roller. And then on the opposite side, you have five dedicated macro keys.
E-keys.
Yeah, they're
E-keys.
I don't know
what EVGA is.
Excellent. But yeah, those are dedicated. I mean, you can make them whatever. They don't have to be macros. And then those keys, as well as the WASD, have these key caps that have these like bumps on them, which actually feel really good, surprisingly. And these, if you don't like these, they send you normal.
Okay.
Keycaps.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want the bumps, but you say they feel pretty good. So
yeah, what's really cool about these keycaps, which I actually really like, is see this like little
slanted angle.
Yeah, it looks so good when it's lit up. Which is really cool. So it also comes with the detachable wrist rest, which is right here. It's magnetic, so you don't have to like. I hate wrist rests that are physically attached.
Yep.
To the keyboard. Or like they're the ones that kind of clip in, and then if you do it too hard, they basically break.
Yeah, that's why I never move my K65s anymore because I've broken one of the clips.
Magnetic, yeah, so, is so nice though. Completely magnetic there. This has pop out feet, obviously, but it offers three levels of adjustment. There's level that's like with no legs up. That's the first leg, and then that's the second one. So you have three levels of adjustment on your angle there. You can also see it does have pass-through audio right here on the side. So 3.5 millimeter jack for pass-through audio. And you also get pass-through USB right here as well. So you have that. Now, the interesting thing about this keyboard, the one feature that it does have that not a lot of keyboards have is right here. This is a TOF sensor, basically a proximity sensor. So what this will do is that when you leave or walk away, it's going to sense that you've walked away, and it will basically do one of three things. It will turn all the lights off on your keyboard. It will lock your PC, or it will put your PC in sleep mode. So then when you walk back, it can, you know, turn the lights on your keyboard back on. It can unlock your PC, or it will take your PC out of sleep, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a novelty thing, but it's, that's the one really unique feature about this. I didn't mention the, where are they here? The switches?
Switches, yep.
Are they not? Wait, am I missing them?
Is it on page 3?
No, oh, they're right here. I was like, wow. Okay. I was like, I think I put them in the review. So this is a optical switch keyboard. They call them their optical mechanical switches. Basically, they mimic a mechanical switch, but they're optical in operation, meaning that basically there's a laser, and when the switch comes down, it goes and activates the command for the
breaks
the plane of that said laser. Mm-hmm. Optical is more accurate, and optical switches basically have twice the lifespan. So typical like Cherry MX switches are rated for 50 million clicks. These are rated for 100 million. Now they offer two different flavors. They offer a clicky, or like a Cherry MX Blue, or a linear, which would be like a Cherry MX Red. I got the clicky switches. They feel really, really good. No issues. Everything felt very, very responsive. Didn't have any issues with any of that. The key caps themselves, sadly, are ABS, and mm-hmm. you can even see like there's already some oil or shine on the keys. I hate ABS keycaps. I know many keyboards come with ABS keycaps, but yeah, ABS keycaps on there. And then as far as the connection, again, you have that audio connection, and you have two USB. One is for the keyboard itself. One is for the USB pass-through. Getting on to the software. Now, when you plug this in, you don't need the software, but it does come with software, which makes it easy to do all of your kind of customization. You can reprogram every key on the keyboard besides the this game mode key, which of course just enables game mode. What's really cool is you can flip around what side you have the function in Windows keys, so you can actually flip them. So you just take the keycap off. And then, a lot of keyboards, you can't do that. Like wherever the Windows key is, that's where the Windows key is.
Sure.
But you can flip that around. You can do the RGB full key or full per key RGB backlighting. You also have two light bars on the sides of the keyboard, which is pretty cool. I think these have 8 different lighting zones, I think, throughout.
That's pretty good.
But again, you can... Each one, you can make whatever you want. And again, every key can be full programmed. The software makes it pretty easy to do that. It's not the most in-depth software, but it gets the job done. It allows you to easily create macros. I'll show you the section for the proximity sensors. So you can see, again, you can see, you can set like what happens when you approach, what happens when you leave, the time. So how long before, when you get up, till these actions happen, and then the distance that the proximity sensor operates at, so where how long till it reads you. So it is a pretty cool feature. I tested it. The proximity sensor works really great. No problems there. The keyboard's very comfortable. As I said, the optical mechanical switches work pretty good as well. Now, the thing is that for me, or I think for most people, like that proximity sensor is great. Like it's cool.
Yeah,
but like how, and only time I can see it being really effective is if you're in a like office setting where like there's critical data, right, and you forget to lock your PC when you walk away. I don't know how many people in an office setting are buying this gaming keyboard, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have it. You hit the nail right on the head, right? It's that feature is nice in a business setting, maybe, right, if you're not already doing things with like group policy and other things to lock things down. But I just don't see everybody buying a bunch of EVGA keyboards for this sensor to put them in there.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the thing is that instead of that sensor, PBT keycaps. I would rather have PBT keycaps on this instead of that sensor. That sensor is like something cool they can talk about, but it's just like for me and for, I would say, most gamers, we would want PPT keycaps instead of the sensor. I don't know the price difference between the two or what that would be, but it's just a much more, for a gamer, it's a much more comfortable experience having the PPT keycaps on there for sure.
Yeah, I just don't see the necessity for it in a, you know, in a personal home environment. So.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a cool feature, but it's just, you know. So you guys were talking about price. Everybody's talking about price in the chat. This keyboard is $174.99, which puts it in the same price range like the Corsair K100, which uses optical mechanical switches as well. That is $199. The Razer Huntsman Elite is, I think, $170. So it's in the same wheelhouse. Those are both full-size keyboards. Offer around the same feature sets. The Corsair keyboard does have PPT keycaps, though, but it is like $15 more expensive. What's cool, though, if you are an EVGA Elite member, the keyboard's only $87.99 for those members. So that is like a membership that they have where if you buy EVGA products, you can get into EVGA Elite. If you are an active member of their forums, like you have to have over 100 posts or we have a link. The link is right here. You can go into and see how you can become an Elite member. It gives you massive discounts on EVGA products. So if you are thinking about, you know, buying EVGA motherboard, graphics card, something like that, see how you can become an Elite member because it gives you great discounts. But yeah, the only issue, like I said, I have this keyboard really is that instead of that proximity sensor, I would have liked to have seen, you know, PPT keycaps. Just would have made for a better experience.
I agree.
And it would put it more or less on par with the Corsair K100, which has the PPT keycaps and the same feature set, basically. So that is that. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Go ahead and check that out. And catching up with the chat, Corey is in the house. He asked how much the keyboard cost. LBOE says, send Kosher the monitor and send me the keyboard. I wish I could. We might be giving the keyboard away in our moving giveaway, so definitely stay tuned for that. The monitor, I can't. It's just too awesome. I can't go back to my 34 now.
Wasn't the 34 broken?
34 was broken, yes, but I have another one.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, oh. I have a MSI one that, yeah. Which I was thinking about putting up here, but I just think it's too much. Because the thing is like this looks really good the way it's set up, but then I have to get one of those bars, and then that just it messes up the whole look of the setup, you know?
I agree.
Yeah, Joseph is in the chat. What's going on? Today we'll talk about the giveaway here in a second. Let's move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have an excellent build from the man, Tim Pele. I'm not going to say time play. I always call him time play.
Yep.
If you look at it quick, it just looks like time play. But it's Tim Pele. Hopefully I'm saying that right. This is called Project Sat. Basically themed after a satellite. This is part of Case Mod World Series 2020. And this is such a cool build. The cool thing about it, which it's hard to show, is that these wings of this satellite retract. They go up and down.
That's cool.
That's why he has used soft tubing there. I don't know if I can find a picture of them like up or down.
This thing's got to be huge.
Yeah, like here.
Oh,
like
they fold out like that.
Yeah, they fold like a satellite would. Yeah, which is so cool. It's just like you don't I didn't even know that until I looked at the pictures. Just a cool build. It just all goes like his stuff is so good. Tim does such a good job on these. I mean, yeah. What is this? Is this like a, what is that?
It almost looks like a flow sensor. Like if I can't tell on that picture, but
you're Mr. Water Cooling. You got to tell me what all these cool water cooling parts are.
Right? I don't know. I can't tell what that one is.
And that's a cool part. It's all Bits Power water cooling. Very, very cool stuff. And these are all radiators that he has here. custom.
And what's cool is that, okay, so those fold. So those have to be, I mean, there's some sort of swivel there that he's got those hinges perfectly aligned so that the tubing and those fittings can twist or swivel without, mm-hmm. you know, creating a leak in the loop. Obviously, he's got the soft tubing on the bottom to connect because that's not a linear movement, but the swivel there, that's pretty unique. That's wild.
Yeah. Real quick, LBOE in the chat, he said, heading out to eat some dinner. Talk to you guys later. Well, thanks for stopping by and hanging out with us for a little bit. Yeah, it's cool. Like I said, the whole swivel part of it is just like, you can see there it is down. Like,
what? And he's using those 240 millimeter fans. That's like the, you know, dual 120s that are attached in one piece. Just kind of a neat look as well.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very interesting build. Look at all these, like, these intricate, like, little, you know, each little section.
All those fittings and
all that stuff just to put it all through. I mean, just an excellent piece of work here for sure. Just such a cool build.
It was very cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome. All the colors go well together. Just very, very cool. So go ahead and check it out. Again, from Tim PLA, just some really, really great work there. Moving on to our giveaway. We announced it last week. If you don't know, I will be moving across the country, and I'm getting rid of a lot of the extra hardware I have, and I just want to give some stuff back to you guys. So why not have a contest for that? So each week, we will be giving something away. This week, it is the ADATA Swordfish 1 TB NVMe SSD, a great little NVMe SSD. It actually looks pretty cool as well. It has a integrated heatsink built into it or onto it. You don't have to use it. You can actually take it off if you don't use it, if you have like a heatsink for your built into your motherboard. But yeah, 1 TB NVMe SSD. The URL is thinkcomputers.org/moving. Check that every Tuesday. We will be giving stuff away. Super easy to enter these. Again, we do it all through Gleam, so you can just get your entry in.
Cool.
Yeah, every week we'll give them stuff away. I went to the storage unit and looked at. I have a lot of Z390 motherboards. So if you guys are interested in those, what is that? Is that a 9900K?
I think so.
Yeah. 9900K. 87 run on that as well? Or no?
Possibly.
Yeah, I have a good amount of those, which I don't have a use for anymore because when I do my CPU testing, I only go back a couple of generations. So
yeah.
I have a lot of those. So we'll be giving away a lot of motherboards to you guys, and I have a lot of keyboards. So definitely stay tuned for that. Again, every week, every Tuesday, thinkcomputers.org/moving. You can go ahead and do that. Are you cold over there?
Yeah, my PC's not pumping out as much heat. The laptop does not warm this room up like I'm used to, and it's kind of chilly down here.
Yeah, well, you know, look at this guy putting on his hoodie. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on to news. But yeah, guys, check out that giveaway. We're trying to give as much stuff away as we can, so go ahead and check that out. Moving on to news this week, we do have news of a new GPU launch. So exciting. And it's not the GT1100 or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah.
The last GPU launch we talked about. This is the RTX 3060. Official release date, according to AIB partners, will be February 25th. 3,584 CUDA cores, 12 gigabytes of GDDR6. Which is interesting because the 3080 has 10.
Okay.
It's going to be $329 as well.
I would be excited if you can get them for that price and they're available. Yes.
Yeah. I don't believe there's going to be a reference. So there will be like I said, like AIB cards. Yep. And talking about AIB cards, it already looks like people are scalping this card before it even comes out.
Yeah, I mean, today's what, the 10th? Yeah, today's the 10th. So 2 weeks ahead of, a little more than 2 weeks ahead of the release.
Yeah, people so 2 weeks ahead of launch.
And I wonder who this guy is that he's like confident enough to put his face on the picture, you know? Like if you're someone known in the industry or someone's like, hey, what's the deal?
Yeah, so NVIDIA, obviously, with their partners, say, you know, like any launch, they're like, you can't sell the card till X date, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how it works. Yeah. We've seen a lot of pre-orders. So pre-order, you're allowed to pre-order, but you can't ship until X date. This company out of Pakistan called, I guess ZAH or ZAH Computers, they are currently right now selling the Palette GeForce RTX 3060 Dual OC. Like, you can buy it, right? You can legit buy it. Just completely ignoring the release dates. And then on top of that, they're selling it for 120,000 rubies, which works out to about $750 US. So the card is $329. They're selling it for $750. That is a little ridiculous, I'd say. And they blame it on high custom duties and import prices. And the guys over at WCCF Tech said that's completely BS. That's how these shady businesses work in Pakistan, they said. And they said what's even worse is that unlike high prices and scalping prices, like after launch, they go, well, not scalping prices, but like typically if somebody's releasing something before it comes out, it'll be a high price because you're getting it before it comes out. But then once it comes out, the prices will drop down. He said there that they don't do that. Like the prices
just keep them at that price.
Yeah. They'll just keep it at that price, which is extremely shady. It's just like, we talk about this every week, man. Every week it's about GPUs that one you can't get, or two, people like, who's going to buy this card for $750 when like
somebody in Pakistan,
a 3070 is that price, or a 3080 almost is that price, you know?
Yeah, but just think though, okay, like, not to make too many assumptions, but what does the availability look like for other higher end 30 series cards in Pakistan, right? If this guy's got 3060s and you want a new graphics card, like maybe that's what you just got to do to get one.
I just like,
it's hard enough to get one in the US or any other more, you know.
I agree. I just hate that. Like, these are retail shops, and these retail shops, I imagine, like, in every country, being an independent, like, this is like, you know, ZAH Computers, it's not like a Best Buy, or maybe ZAH Computers is huge, I don't know. But like, you know, these little computer shops, even like Micro Center is bigger, but like they depend on enthusiasts and gamers to keep them in business, and their margins aren't great, you know, so they're depending on their customers, right?
Sure.
So why screw over your customer? Because you are. Like, there's been stories of this in the US too, where like these little mom and pop shops are, you know, two times, three times for RTX 30 series cards. Like, why would you do that to your customer? Like, you are making money on the card at its retail price. So I hate that's what's happening. I get like Joe Schmo who got a couple at launch and is selling them for two or three times the price. Like, that's somebody making money for themselves. This is a business doing it. Not a fan. Not a fan of it. It's just like, would you ever go to this place again and buy?
But what if you don't have other options? That's, I don't know the what are the options there, right? Can you buy from Newegg? Can you buy from Amazon? Can you buy Wish or Alibaba, maybe? Like, that might be your only, like, reliable source, even though you know you're going to pay more than you should be.
Yeah. I think that we're going to run into the same problem, is that these cards, again, it's a great performing card. It's going to be a great mining card. It's $329. It's very affordable. So again, we're going to see the same problem that we've seen with all of the 30 series. This first batch is going to go. People are going to scalp them, obviously, and then nobody's going to be able to buy them, just like the whole rest of the 30 series as well. So yeah, I am excited for the card. I will be getting one in, so I'm excited to test it. And we'll tell you about it when on the 25th. So that is exciting. Let's move on to our next story. So GeForce Now, the official, no, it was is in beta for a while, but official GeForce Now turned one year. It was officially 1 year anniversary for it. If you don't know what GeForce Now is, basically it allows you to stream games from, you know, basically any device. So NVIDIA's servers or, you know, GPUs are in the cloud. They effectively render the game and then you basically stream it to whatever device. So you can like play, you know, Cyberpunk on your cell phone, essentially. You know what I mean? Which is great. Like, this is good if you're on the go or you just don't, and you can't, or you can't build a high-end PC or you have a Mac or something, like you can play all these cool games. They added 14 new games on the 1 year anniversary. We have the full list here. Of course, Apex Legends is on there. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard of many of these other games, actually. The big one is Apex Legends, Warhammer 40,000, Gladius Relics of War, Werewolf Apocalypse. But they added a bunch of new games. I think this is only $5 a month.
What's the GPU equivalent that they give you access to?
I don't know.
Do you know what it is?
What it is now, it used to be like a 2080 or something like that before.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal, like $5 a month to access.
Yeah, it's 24.95 for 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, and like all of the server support, like RTX, and I believe it is free too, but you only get like so many hours of gameplay. But it's worth checking out. Like, if you don't have a super powerful computer, you have a laptop, you know, it's worth checking out. It obviously it depends on your internet connection as well. If you have a crappy internet connection, it's not gonna be good, but it's worth checking out. You know, I've used both the NVIDIA one and the AMD one. They do work really well if you have a good internet connection. So yeah, definitely worth checking out. There are a ton of games on there as well. Cyberpunk is on there, Watch Dogs is on there, Apex Legends is on there. I think the Rainbow, one of the newer Rainbow Sixes is on there as well. So there's a lot of good games on there. So yeah, worth checking out. Talking about more reasons why you can't find GPUs or even laptops. Although I was surprised Ryan was talking about a laptop before the show here. Chinese GPU miners are now using RTX 30 laptops to mine Ethereum. So obviously with RTX 30 series, miners want the cards. They're great cards. Their power consumption or efficiency is really, really good for mining as well. But you can't get the cards. So what these people are doing is they're just buying lots of laptops to run them. And you can see how they have all these laptops just running and mining. And it's crazy what people will do. But I mean, money is money, right? If this is like, this is how you're making money, this is kind of what you have to do.
I mean, they've obviously got access to purchase multiple of the same unit or similar unit, right? These are all brand laptop. So these miners obviously have a connection somehow to buy them in bulk.
I do expect that the availability of RTX 30 series laptops is much more than graphics cards.
Yes.
You can like, again, because you're buying a system, like you're putting the investment, and these sell for normal price. Like, they're not being, you know, there's not a people scalping.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, I was looking today and there was a Asus 15-inch laptop in stock in town at Best Buy with a Ryzen 9 and a 3070 for around $1,800. I love all the fans in that window there. They just ripped up a bunch of like 120, 140 millimeter fans to circulate some air. What you gonna do?
I bet these things are pumping.
Oh yeah.
Because laptops get real hot, especially gaming laptops. So yeah, and like this, you know, just like this guy, look at all these cables everywhere and everything. So yeah, it's pretty crazy that that's what people are resorting to. But again, money's money, and this is like, especially like we don't know how it is over in China. But again, I mean, you know, when you're stuck at home and maybe you lost your job or you can't work or you're only getting so many hours because of COVID, like why not start mining? I mean, hell, make some money. So yeah, that is rather interesting there. Real quick on Xeon, I know we don't talk a lot about especially high-end desktop, but like just looking at the chip, like just gets me so excited. It honestly reminds me a lot of the what's the high-end AMD chip called?
Threadripper.
Yeah, like sort of reminds me of Threadripper a little bit, or their Epic chips. So pictures of Intel's fourth generation Xeon Sapphire Rapids processor. Like these are 10. This is 10 millimeter. Process is the first processor that will support PCI Express 5.0 and DDR5. You can see it's just a big old processor. I like it.
What's the socket name for this?
It is the LGA 4677X.
That's a lot of pins.
It will have HBM memory built into it.
Okay.
Which is interesting as well. So obviously this is Xeon. It's, you know, it's
we're not using it in our desktops, but
yeah, but it's just a it's big still ass cool processor. To see. Yeah, it's just like
it looks like it's as big as an iPhone.
We can't really tell, but yeah.
No, but I mean I'm guessing that little card there is about the size of a credit card.
Yeah. Maybe or like a business card, yeah.
Yeah, business card.
Yeah, so but it's pretty big. So yeah, that's just cool to see. But yeah, if you want to go ahead and check that out. Also, something really cool, and I was like, this is a Ryan thing. No. This is since Ryan has what you have four monitors, so
three.
This is a Ryan thing, sure. So this company called Expansecape, they announced their Aurora 7 laptop, which features seven screens.
I mean, we thought it was cool that Razer had one that had a couple screens. Yeah, right? This seven, like, how thick is this thing?
That's what I mean. This thing has to be huge, like a brick. Like, it has to be huge. I could see if you can see he has like development windows open. Like, if you are on the go and you need
seven monitors,
and the thing is too, is like a lot of people, having a big monitor like this makes me ultra productive, right? If you need something like this, and obviously if you're traveling a lot, like you can't necessarily take even like a couple monitors, like you can't take them with you, you know, even like those little UV monitors, like you can only do so many and it's just a pain. And this gives you everything. Imagine like taking this on the plane. Like,
don't mind if I do.
Yeah, it's like,
or you're like setting this thing up in a coffee shop to do some work.
Yeah,
it looks like a transformer.
It does. It's like other little thing too. I'll go to their website. It's 26 pounds.
Okay.
So four of the displays are 4K, and then three are 1080. I assume the smaller ones are 1080s.
Probably, yeah.
But like for like a developer, this would be pretty cool. I just don't think I would want a laptop that big ever.
26 pounds gets heavy pretty quick.
Yeah, you can see it's how they all.
Okay, so go, click the bottom image, I guess.
I guess
it's just one. Where's seven screens?
So one, two, three, four, five. Like one, two, three, four, five, six.
Is there one like on the keyboard, kind of like some of those Asus monitors?
Maybe that's one right there. It kind of looks like that's one.
It almost looks like it.
It has like right there.
Right. The screen.
Yeah, probably. Because, one, two, three, four, five, six. That would be seven right there. Interesting. It's pretty powerful. It's powered by Core i9 10900K, or a Ryzen 9 3950X, 128 gigabytes of RAM, RTX 2070 though. Two M.2 drives. Decent one. Now I'll go to their website. They have this other thing, which I didn't really look up what it was. It's like, look how cool that looks.
Yeah, okay.
So say that looks pretty cool.
In the
yeah, keyboard. Right there. Yeah.
It's huge.
How cool. That is pretty cool. Is that like a dedicated Ethernet port right there?
That's what I was wondering, but that'd be a weird spot to put it. I mean, definitely looks like an RJ45, sure. But yeah, I need this at work.
Yeah, no. That's pretty cool. But they have this other thing. It's called Teeny Serve. What is this?
I don't know.
It's like, I don't know what this is, but it just like looked cool.
It almost looks 3D printed.
Yeah, kind of. Oops, wait. Is there something on? Teeny Serve. A very powerful server for your rather large pocket. What? You're like the IT guy.
Yeah, hang on. I'm getting to it on my screen real quick here.
Yeah. Teeny Serve.
That's definitely 3D printed, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 3D printed and then carbon fiber, like around some of the displays, yeah. It looks like.
But like, what is it like? Wonder what this is for, like what type of server?
I don't know. It's got i7.
Yeah.
Keyboard, a couple NICs, some displays. Huh. They have their own website, teenyserve.com.
Under construction.
Well, that looks very 1995.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're serving up that needs to be mobile like that, but whatever.
Yeah. But this is cool. I gotta say. I mean, imagine like this is on your desk at work.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. So yeah, it's called Expanscape. We have it linked in the article here if you want to check it out. We don't see stuff like that often, so I just thought it was really cool. We could, yeah, just something a little different. So go ahead and check that out. What else do we have this week? Our last story of the week, which is a rather interesting one of the biggest stories of the week, actually. Kind of weird we saved it for last, but CD Projekt Red, the company behind Cyberpunk 2077, was hacked.
Dope.
Pretty big hack as well. They got access to pretty much all their entire servers. They have all the game code for the game, as well as internal emails, all this stuff. CD Projekt Red put out a statement saying that they're not going to give in to the demands. They're investigating the incident. The hackers left this nice little note. Notepad that says, "We have you've been epically pwned. We have dumped full copies of the source code from your Perforce server for Cyberpunk 2077, Witcher 3, Gwent, and the unreleased version of Witcher 3. We also dumped all of your documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, and more. Also, we have encrypted all of your servers, but we understand that you can most likely recover backups. If we do not come to agreement, then your source codes will be sold or leaked online, and your documents will be sent to our contacts in gaming journalism. Your public image will go down the shitter even more, and people will see how shitty your company functions. Investors will lose trust in your company, and the stock will dive even lower. You have 48 hours to contact us."
Wow.
And then CD Projekt Red said, "We're not going to give in to the fans." They're working with law enforcement, obviously. The biggest thing I see is like the not so much even the source code of the games or the unreleased game is like, you know,
exposing how crappy they are,
how shitty your company functions. We've seen these horror stories about the what's it called, the crunch.
Yeah,
at the end,
overworking them at the end,
overworking
like
and
cramming
like,
it. Yeah.
Imagine with how
I mean, you have these deadlines that you have to make, right? We saw it with Cyberpunk get pushed back a couple times.
Yeah, but like how, you know, the world is now, and if you say something bad and like internal emails that might say something that people take offense to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. And then the investors will lose trust in your company. Like, what's that about? It's kind of interesting. We'll see if anything happens with it. Obviously, again, CD Projekt Red said they're not going to give in to the demands. So I don't know what these people wanted, like money wise or whatever.
Yeah, but probably.
But yeah, like anything, I believe there's nothing that's 100% secure. Everything can be hacked. So that's kind of scary, to say the least. So yeah, guys, that is news for the week. Coming up next week, two products, and then Ryan will have, hopefully we'll have something, but we won't have a podcast next week because I will be away. I'm going to California to look at apartments. So that's exciting. But no podcast next week, but we will have some reviews on the site. So you guys want to check that out. So I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler from Deepcool. It is their AS500 slim tower cooler. I believe it's 5 heat pipe cooler, a little bit of RGB. So I'll go ahead and check that out. We actually haven't reviewed a Deepcool product in a while.
It reminds me of a mix between the Hyper 212 and a... now it's blank in my mind. I have one of their coolers. Wow. Never mind. Can't think of the other brand that I'm thinking of. The fan really reminds me of it.
Okay.
There was rumor, I think, last year that they were going out of business, but then they were like, no, we're still...
Cryo rig.
Yes, thank you. Kind of reminds me of
yeah, kind
a mix of the two.
Yeah, so I'll have that. Again, we haven't reviewed a product from Deepcool in a while, so I'm excited to take a look at that. And then also I have a very, again, if you have an extra M.2 that's like from an old system or you just upgraded your M.2, this is something great to just get. It is the Oracle M.2 SSD enclosure. Simple little SSD, or simple little M.2 enclosure. Basically, there's an M.2 slot in here. And it turns it into a portable SSD. You know how much I love portable SSD.
Yeah.
You talk so much about portable SSDs. This.
And it's aluminum, you know, a little nicer than a plastic case that you can find. And their stuff's pretty good, too. You've looked at a couple devices from them, haven't you?
Yeah. So go ahead. Like I said, next week, I will have that for you guys. In the chat, Old Man says, I wonder if the hack had anything to do with their modding fiasco last week. I remember someone commenting that the mods could allow access to the servers. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't followed it all that much. It is kind of scary to think that, like, people are like, you know, I mean, things, you know, again, certain information gets out or certain things get, you know, conversations get sent to investors, like it really ruin a company. That's just like, that's something, I don't know. A lot of people don't like CD Projekt Red though. Like there's a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, because of all the delays and then all the issues. Like nobody, again, in this world, nobody's happy. Like nobody's happy. If a game gets delayed, people aren't happy. If they're 1050 Ti doesn't play Cyberpunk at 4K. They're not happy. No. Like, you know, I can understand. Yeah. I can understand like the Xbox 360 and the PS4 people being upset at CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, like, when it was advertised to play on those platforms.
Yeah, and it looked like an N64 game. You know, on there, like I can understand that, but like again, nobody's happy, and when like everybody's sitting at home and like they want to play a game and then just have issues. So that is Joseph in the chat said, is that SATA or NVMe? It's NVMe. It's USB 3.1 Gen 2. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2. It says USB 3.1 Gen 2 on the website, but it's probably
just it actually does both NVMe and SATA.
Okay, I didn't see that. So yeah, both NVMe and SATA. So it will, like I said, it's gonna be a fast little portable drive. So again, if you have an extra NVMe, it's great to throw one in these, you know. So yeah, so that's exciting. So yeah, like the CD Projekt Red thing, it's I don't know, a lot of people don't like them. I know that. It just happens with game, like it has to be so hard to be a game company.
Yeah, right? Because you're like, you know they're your fans, but they will turn rabid and turn on you as soon as they do something that they perceive as being bad or wrong, or, you know, they don't like. And they'll switch just like that. It's crazy.
I feel the gamers are like gamers in general, like some of them are just like crazy people, because like even like PC hardware people, like the companies, they don't get it as bad as like these game companies. But again, people are spending like hours upon hours playing these games. And if there's an issue,
well, they anticipate it and build it up in their head, right? Yeah. Like, just think of all the buildup to CD or to a Cyberpunk, you know, you just like get this idea of what the game's going to be. And if it doesn't meet every one of my expectations, it's a piece of junk. And it's crazy.
Yeah. Also, Ryan, because he's on his laptop, he's working on his water cooling build.
Yeah, I finally figured out the loop order. I ran into some not issues, but
can you show us it or no? Can you move your camera to show us?
I don't have any lighting over there right now.
Oh, no worries.
But let's do this. Hang on a second. Let me just share my screen real quick.
Oh, you took some photos?
It's just the one that I had the other day. I think I showed you. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it is at the moment. I have the front radiator in there, and the pump is mounted to it. So there's another 360 radiator here with a set of three fans. And then the reservoir kind of sits here. So
nice.
Yeah.
Get your hard tubes going.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of tubing. I've got the bending kit. Let's stop sharing that. There we go. It's like super cold outside in the garage. So I need to set up in the kitchen probably to do the bends. So now I'm like, do I bring this upstairs instead of having to go up and down the stairs to
every time to check,
you know, how do I want this? So that's probably gonna be
a big case. So he's doing it in the Inwin 925. We have a review and video on that case. Massive case, and awesome case.
You forget how heavy these fittings can be when you start adding up how many fittings are in here. Like they weigh a decent amount. This case is huge. It's not something I want to be carting up and down the stairs. So I don't know, maybe I'll do the tube bending down here.
That's exciting. Definitely a fun project.
I did tear apart the GPU block though the other day and cleaned it out. It wasn't as bad as I thought it might be. So pretty straightforward.
That's good. And we're excited to see your video. He's doing a video on this, just like his initial video. So that's going to be pretty exciting. We won't be back here next week. As I said, we'll be back the following week. So I have a lot to talk about. Is there anything else that you've done this week, cool related tech, anything besides that?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
No.
I've gotten into a new show. My friend Jeremy got me into this show.
What you watching now?
Sci-fi show. It is called The 100. It's on Netflix. It's sci-fi. It's basically like there was like a nuclear or something on Earth and everybody lives on the space station, and they sent this group of kids down to see if it was like livable. And it's like this whole, I'm only like four episodes, but it's really good. It almost like, it sort of like reminds me of Lost, if you watch Lost. But it's more in like a sci-fi world thing. So it's pretty cool. It's worth checking out. I'm like four episodes in, so it's really good so far. So
cool.
Beyond that, that's pretty much it. Again, watch the Patriots beat your team. So
old man was talking about his loop order pump. And that's essentially what my loop is going to be as well. It's a pump to the card, then card and CPU are still going to be in series, parallel. And then it goes to the top radiator and then the front radiator and then back into the pump reservoir combo. So same loop order there. So
And Joe said that show's okay, but it goes on and on. It's like
10 seasons. Wow.
Yeah, that's something I'm getting into. Well, here's the thing,
it's not a new show, is it?
It's
because I feel like I've heard of it.
That's 2014 on Netflix. I liked, like, before I go to bed, I like to watch something that's like not like a reality, like something that's like based in fiction, right? Yeah, fiction. To get my mind off of work and everything. So it's like a good show to watch before I go to bed, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So yeah, guys. So we will be streaming, playing some Apex Legends. I will be the one streaming this week.
Yeah.
So you guys get to see my pretty face over on twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Be playing some Apex Legends. We tested the stream last night, so I'm pretty sure my
Bob got his win of the week last night with a bunch of randoms.
I did.
No wins for us tonight, I guess.
Yeah. So we will be jumping over there again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Again, guys, next week, no podcast. But again, remember, next Tuesday, go to thinkcomputers.org/moving. And Ryan, might if you have your system up, you might stream some games next Wednesday as well. So thanks everybody for stopping by, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Later, guys.